I would like to introduce our the first speaker, Fred S. from Cleveland, Ohio, from the Hump Day Group of NA in the Northeast Ohio area. Is that right? Did I get it all?
Yeah, it's so weird to hear that because I am from New York, but that is my area now. So as of this year. So, yep. Thank you for the introduction. I guess I'll start now. I'm Fred. I'm an addict. It's really an honor to be able to be on here, service for NA. And, you know, I was thinking about a lot of stuff recently and just, you know, the whole idea of like spiritual principles and the how of the program. And, you know, I remember so many times like, how do you do this? Like, I just didn't understand what surrender meant, you know, just coming in and like, it's like literally like right in the literature, you know, how do I do this? And it's like the whole, that's kind of funny, like honesty, open-mindedness and willingness and like what that means. And like anything else, my go-to pretty much for like my whole life was intellectualizing stuff. Like I feel like, you know, through the power of understanding it or reading about it, that somehow I'll be able to, you know, get better somehow, or just, you know, like the whole idea of like knowledge. And, I that couldn't have been farther from the truth from my experience with recovery. Like, you know, it's that 12-inch drop between, you know, from your head to your heart, and like just actually applying those principles into my life, which, you know, I just gone over the 12th step with my sponsor recently, and, you know, it took quite a while. It's been like a slow process. And normally when I hear at the 12th step, I always think about, service, like carrying the message to the still sick and suffering. But what he talked about was, you know, practicing these principles in all our affairs, and how that, like, you know, what good is a message without being an example of that message, you know, not just doing service, which I love to do. I love H&I. I love doing service in my home group. I love doing all, you know, different levels of service. But, you know, he just talked about like by walking the walk, you know, as best as we can, you know, we kind of carry the message just from our example. So, you know, that's just something that kind of stuck with me, because I didn't really think about that before. I mean, it's written on the step and I've heard it so many times, like, you know, what the 12th step meant to me was just like doing service, you know? That being said, it's like so difficult to actually apply those principles in all my, you know, areas of my life. I'm visiting home again this weekend. I was home recently. It's been nice to be back in New York and see my family. And like, I had this like terrible fight with my dad and completely like flew off the handle, you know, acted out of character. And, you know, just like the anger stuff, you know, that's just, you know, I mean, being angry is not necessarily a defect, but you know, what we do with that anger can be, it can be like so fucking destructive. And I know for me, like, especially when I was using, I was just angry at everything because I basically hated myself. And I was on this like path to death. Like, you know, it was like, it sounds intense, but it was like, you know, I just didn't give a shit. And I felt this sick freedom from like, nothing can bother me because I just literally don't care, you know? So in that moment, like I was so angry and, I just said, fuck it. I just, you know, I turned into an asshole for like 10 minutes. And then the emotional hangover and the consequences after was kind of like, wow, that really sucked. It felt so empowering for a second, like a drug. And then after, just like, shit, I did it again. Like I felt like I'd undone years of work on this relationship, which has been complicated, you know, and definitely suffered from my using. So, you know, that's a little bit of honesty for you of like a more recent situation that had come up. And then having to look at that too, like, okay, so I have like 5 years plus clean, you know, got a home group. I mean, my clean date's March 30th, 2015. I've been coming around to meetings for 10 years. I came in 2009. So like, you know, I've learned a few things even before I actually fully surrendered and got clean. Like, you know, I'm not like a newcomer anymore. And yet still in that moment, just like that, old Freddy comes out. And it just, you know, so I shared about it in meetings. I talked about it with my sponsor. I did the next right thing. It was via text message. I felt, you know, nervous to call and talk about it. So I texted him and I, you know, said, listen, I was wrong. I'm sorry. And I love you. And you know, that's like hard stuff because It's not like I have a dad who is quick to apologize and admit when he's wrong, but that's not what we do, right? We work the steps and get super honest, and it's really about keeping our side of the street clean. So for me, that's the willingness aspect of, like, even if it might not feel good, and really just that humble pie shit, man, you know, it just, this tastes like shit in the moment, like the humility and like being willing to do something that's hard, but doing it anyway, cause you know, it's the right thing to do. And that's been recovery for me too, you know, and just like, I guess a little bit more about me, like, you know, I kind of jumped right into some of the principles and, you know, things that have come up for me more recently, which I always, it's helpful for me to share about, like, things I'm going through, you know, personally, and struggles like that. That's what gives me hope. And I always get really good feedback from all you guys, you know? So, you know, I'm from New York, crazy family growing up. I mean, a lot of love, but just dysfunctional. And, like, for me, my addiction, even before drugs, like, I loved spinning around in circles because it would make me dizzy. And, I loved, like, stealing candy bars from the local, you know, corner stores, the TMO, and, you know, Bedford Avenue where we used to live. And, you know, just the rush of getting away with it. So, like, you know, a lot of those addictive behaviors were there very early on, way before the drugs. So it's sort of the analogy, right, that we hear about the iceberg, the tip of that iceberg, that's the drugs. But, like, there's so much more underneath. And so I definitely had a lot of those behaviors before picking up. And, you know, my story, like, began with alcohol because it was always around. It's just, I grew up with a family and a culture where alcohol was just, like, accepted, and it wasn't a big deal if, like, you know, 9, 10, 11-year-old kid is drinking a little bit of wine. I mean, I don't even know if I got drunk for sure, but, you know, it was just always around. And I remember that first buzz at 12. I was like, man, I love this feeling, and just sleeping like a baby and feeling finally comfortable in my own skin, you know? And then 14 years old, getting into, I started playing guitar. I was like, you know, see, I felt cooler. I don't know if I was actually cooler, but I felt like kind of cooler than I was, a little more like comfortable in my own skin. And, you know, the lifestyle of like selling weed and smoking weed before, during, and after school, and just all that. So, you know, that lifestyle. And so, like, that's like what I knew for years, you know, and it was a very slow progression for me. And one thing I can say too is, like, I remember sharing this specifically after my first year clean at my celebration, because it's been such a big part of my story. Honesty and addiction can't live in the same universe together. They can't be in the same room. You know, like, when I used, I had to lie always. And, like, that's that thing for me. Like, I lied just for the hell of lying. You know, that's before the drugs. But, like, once the drugs took hold and I had to, like, justify and rationalize to myself the way I used. And then when I would get confronted from people that loved me, family and friends included, and significant others, you know, there was no honesty there. It was like not even something that I had to think about. I would come up with the most elaborate lies, and some of them were really good lies, I'm pretty sure. You know, I became like pretty manipulative, and I believe that something that takes hold in us, the addiction, it's smarter than we are. It's like so cunning, and all the stuff that we hear about, you know, the cunning, the baffling, the insidious. I wore so many masks, and I was so addicted to lying that was really hard to, just stop doing. And like, I didn't trust myself for the first, you know, I don't know, year clean. I would have dreams where I had used, or I was like using the whole time. I wasn't even clean. And I'm like in a meeting, I'm like, do I tell them? And I'd had those moments in my journey, where I just couldn't get honest and was tired of putting my hand up. And it's like, I knew that I was full of shit. Like, you know, like, you got high, like, fucking be honest about it. And, you know, I would wake up and I'd be like, did I use? And it's like, it almost didn't feel real for quite a long time. You know, just like I couldn't believe I was really clean, and it was pretty cool, but it was also like, I don't know, I just didn't trust myself. So honesty is, you know, it's like the first thing. It's like the most important thing. It's just the honesty. Nothing else could be possible without that as being the foundation. And so that's pretty cool, because I think it's easy to fall into these traps, like, oh, maybe this person's good for me, or that girl, or like, different situations, but like, it's so much harder for me to lie to myself when I have all of you to kind of bounce information from and kind of use as a sounding board and like develop meaningful relationships where I let people really get to know me and what I'm really thinking, how I'm really feeling to like live a more honest life and hopefully make less bad decisions. You know, but really like the honesty piece, that was like the game changer for me. Almost to a fault. Like, you know, I was afraid of any little tiny little lie, and I'm not saying I did it perfectly, but I really tried to not give myself even an inch, and something that I still try to do, like at least let one other person know all the crazy shit that goes through my head or like the things I'm contemplating. That is not something I'd ever had before NA. And that's made like all the difference in the world for me. And as a result of that too, I've developed really awesome friendships because I didn't know how to have a relationship with people because I was always like full of shit and lying about this and that. And like, so for people to really know me without all the exterior bullshit and all the masks and, you know, stories that I would tell myself, like people really got to know me in my core. And in that process, I got to know myself a little bit better too, because I really just, you know, just in wearing those masks and being the chameleons that we are, you know, it's just easy to lose yourself in that, you know, in searching for self-acceptance and searching for, you know, whatever it is that we're looking for. I don't even know half the time, you know, I just know it's like, hey man, if you had the drugs, I didn't care what you had and we're going somewhere else that's other than here right now, I'm fucking in, man, you know, cause that escapism and the fantasy and just like wanting to run was just very exciting for me for a long time. I think I still, you know, I love to travel. I think part of that is the excitement of like the process of going somewhere else just excites me. I try to do it in a more healthy way now. You know, but it was really like, I was that skeptical newcomer. Like, you know, H&I is where I first heard about the message. I was in rehab. It was October 2009. On 58th and Amsterdam Avenue in New York. I thought my life was over. You know, I'm in this inpatient treatment. I think insurance covered me for maybe like, I don't know, 10 days, 11 days, something like that. And that was like number one rehab out of many more in that next year. But, you know, I just like, I had that hope. I was like, wow, maybe this could work for me. But then I also had that skeptical kind of like, you know, deflecting any positivity off of me kind of, you know, frame of mind where like, are they even really addicts if they're clean or are they getting, I thought maybe they were, you know, people were getting paid to share their story in a rehab. So just by coming around and starting to go to meetings and having that little glimmer of hope, I saw that people were, you know, there's nothing that resonates more than an honest message. Like it says that in our literature too. And, you know, and I love like, you know, a funny, articulate speaker just as much as anyone, but there's something really powerful about the vulnerability part when people really dig fucking deep and let it all hang out and really share what's going on and their message that it really hits me in my heart. So I think seeing that, and hearing that over and over again and going to meetings and just showing up, I started to feel a little bit more open-minded to the process. That maybe this can work for me too. Cause I really, really did feel like such an alien amongst other aliens. Like, yes, it's NA. I get it. People were like, look, you're just like us. You know, the fact that you feel so terminally unique and have the skepticism, you know, that just makes you even more of an addict. Like you're like, you belong here. And I like didn't want to hear it for a while, you know, but yet I kept coming because like the loneliness piece and, you know, like I was just so painfully lonely and isolation is a big part of my story with my using, you know, but that also that little seed that I didn't want to even admit to myself at that time, that like scared kid who like didn't want to like open myself up, you know, to let people in because I really just didn't think I was worthy enough, you know, just like the letting the love in and the self-acceptance. It was just such a process. So when I hear people share in a meeting, you know, let us love you till you learn to love yourself. That's like very much me right there. I just kept coming and eventually like that stuff started to grow, you know, the relationships and just my capacity to accept myself, and in that acceptance, allowing people in and allowing myself to, you know, it's like you have to take risks in life. Like, you know, I've been hurt. I've lost friends in this process to overdoses, and I've gone through the gamut of feeling jaded from like so many funerals, and just like, you know, that I realized, man, I turned into that person I hated when I first came in, who felt so jaded because they were like so hurt from the people that don't make it. And I decided to make a conscious effort to, you know, let people in anyway and take that chance. Cause like, I'm robbing myself of meaningful relationships, and you never know who does make it, because some of us do make it. And I don't want to be like a jaded person, you know? So I kind of, you know, went a little all over the place with that, on, you know, but it's just something that came to mind in the moment. But like really, like, all this stuff is such a process. You know, and for me, the open-mindedness is something that continues over time. And I try to apply that in other areas of my life too. Like, you know, sort of like recovery and life are separate, but they kind of interact with one another. And, you know, I try to just have an open mind with other things too that I think the program has given me. And then also in working with other people, at my job, and just like, you know, to like get over those blind spots that I have. Cause whether it's like my own ego or my own perception, which is limited and kind of skewed, cause I'm me. So like, I'm limited in the things that I think or view. And so I think, you know, open-mindedness allows like a wider scope, a wider view of like what's really going on. And something my sponsor says to me all the time, you know, a lot of recovery is about getting out of your own way. And so that kind of has meant different things for me at different times, but it's so true. Like a lot of the problems I've had, whether I care to admit it or not, but I'm admitting it now because it's true. Like I put them there, you know, and I've unconsciously or subconsciously made terrible decisions for myself, you know? But I guess that's part of the journey and part of the process, like allowing life to happen and make mistakes and take risks. Hopefully they're healthier risks over time, but like, that's how we grow. You know, I didn't get clean to live under a rock and not do stuff. You know, like I love this program. I always want to be a meeting maker and do service, but like, I want to branch out and like do stuff, you know, just cause I don't do drugs anymore doesn't mean I can't have fun and like do all this other wild, like fun shit. And I try to do that. And it's really opened up my world, because I really did think that my life was over when I first came in. I really felt completely defeated walking into that first rehab. And I remember the nurse like looking at me, she's like, honey, you look so sad. I'm like, well, listen, like I'm in fucking rehab. What am I supposed to be happy? Like, you know, I didn't understand that was the beginning of like the rest of my life, whether I realized it then or not. That's where I first heard the message. I first did something for myself, even though it was a 5+ years in and out and struggle for me from 2009 to 2015 and almost dying and car crashes and, you know, burned bridges and failed relationships as a direct result of my using and inability to, you know, show up. Through all that, like, you know, the end game was something that's been unequivocally like just the greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my life. You know, so like I said, all this stuff is a process, and, you know, we hear those analogies, the layers of the onion as they begin to peel off. And it's true. Like, you know, I think in my core, I always felt like I knew who I was, but then in other ways, like I'm learning things about myself from this process that I didn't know were there or had forgotten were there. So it's a continuous journey. And like with my interactions with and my relationship to the world and my experiences and my family, it always comes back to me, like every time, whenever there's an issue, you know, I have a sponsor who kind of always points it back to me, and that helps me a lot. Cause I know like I don't have control over basically like anything outside of myself, but I do have control over how my perception, you know, my perspective, and then like what my actions are in different situations. Like, you know, it's a simple thing, but like for me, just don't be a dick. It has a lot of, spirituality in it. It's very practical and like simple and you know, we were reading the other night from The Living Clean, just like that whole keeping things simple. Like, you know, if it's not practical, it's not spiritual kind of thing. So like, don't be a dick is a good way to live life. you know, so like I said, I feel like I've been rambling here. I don't know how much time I'm supposed to speak for here. But there we go. yep. Don't be a dick. So it's just been a journey. And, so, you know, I talked about, you know, the honesty, open-mindedness, that's the process. And then the willingness too, like I think in a lot of my experiences, pain tends to be the motivator for me. And I'm trying to work on getting to a place where instead of waiting to a point where a defect is hurting me so much and I finally pray for its removal or change a certain behavior, but to let the, you know, the benefits of the program, like spiritual growth feels good. There's something that happens when I work a step with my sponsor or when I go through this point where I feel like I've hit a wall and I don't know what to fucking do. And I'm just like stuck and I'm afraid, but I go through it anyway and I take that leap. Something really beautiful happens where I like really, I'm so scared and I feel so stuck, but I, in that moment, I make that decision and I take a fucking leap and growth happens. And I did something that I didn't think I could do. And then, well, and then in retrospect, like there's just a whole new kind of viewpoint on everything. You know, there's something really beautiful about it. You know, I've been reading up a lot on like what makes someone great at anything or like Buddhist monks that meditate and focus just on their breath. And that's it, you know, for years. And they're able to physically like do these incredible things by just doing something repeatedly over and over and over and over again. You know, there's just something really cool about that. Like what makes, you know, someone great at anything, like is just by like doing it. Even if it's hard or it takes a long time, but to really dedicate yourself. And so, you know, I just think there's something really beautiful about that, that repetition. Like we go to meetings, right? We do the thing, the commitment, the sponsor, read up on some literature, help a newcomer, you know, show up for ourselves, show up in life. And then doing that over and over and over again, I look back at like the last 5 years and I'm like, okay, shit. Yep. They were right. You know, this really works. And, what I've given versus what I've gotten, you know, it's, I try to really give back to the program, but I've been really, really blessed with a really charmed, beautiful life. And then there's days where I'd need to write that gratitude list and get the perspective because I can get stuck on whatever, you know, but, just having the relationships I have today, you know, and, being able to have gone back to school and playing music again and meeting all these awesome people and traveling, all this extra stuff that came as a result of the room that was there once I removed the drugs and I found a new way to live. Like, you know, drugs no longer ruled me and, you know, my world went from the size of a pea to like this really, really big thing over time. So, you know, just that one day at a time thing, it's just amazing what can develop, as a result of that, you know? So, like I said, it's totally a process. I mean, you know, I see, all right, 5 minutes left. Cool. You know, and so when I hear people talk about don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle happens, like, you know, it's usually when we really don't want to make a meeting, but go anyway that we hear. I mean, I'll keep it on me, but I've have a lot of friends that have had this exact thing happen to them too, where they're just in a really bad place or they're sick of hearing the same motherfuckers in the meeting, whatever it is, you know, but they show up anyway, even though they really don't want to and they dig their heels in the sand, but they go and they hear something that completely blows them away. And so that's something that kind of like, I don't want to ever lose sight of is, being able to show up, especially when I don't want to. And that's usually when I hear the thing I needed to hear to like, really help me get to that next step that I need to get to and whatever I'm going through. I mean, it could be recovery related. It could be situations I've had with a significant other or, you know, jobs. But yeah, like I took all those principles and I applied it to when I went back to school and I became a total like nerd, just as an example. Like I barely graduated high school and then college. Like I did go to college. I, you know, I did the minimal. But, you know, I partied my ass off. I actually should have a bachelor's, not in whatever I have it in, but in just like getting high and just being a degenerate, cause that's kind of what I was then, you know? But like, I didn't think I was a nerd or that I was like a smart person, but I like really got interested in whatever I decided I wanted to learn about. And it was like a high to be able to learn new shit and then see like, oh wow, like I'm like an A student and I became president of the freaking like student club. Like this is someone who was like a drug dealer who was getting arrested with mushrooms and I was in this like journal news and they put my name and my address on there. It was terrible. It was really, really bad. That's the person I was. And of course it kind of shocked me that like, how can mushrooms be a felony in New York? Like they're just some vegetables that you trip on that like might help you see things differently and like help you in your life. And so, you know, getting a felony and probation and all this sort of stuff. And then becoming like, you know, several years down the road after getting my shit together a little bit, you know, a total New York City junkie nodding off in the subways with cigarette holes in his hoodie smelling like shit with nowhere to go. Period. No one welcomed me. My parents were done with me. My sister kicked me out. I was staying with her for a little while. You know, I just burned all those bridges. So to go from that, you know, needle using junkie who was more or less homeless for a period of time to, like a go-to point person in this family and, you know, like a straight A student who graduated with honors and who's now like playing amazing music with amazing people and playing shows clean. I thought that was all gone. I used to think like I needed to get high to like have fun and be creative. And like, I realized all the lies I told myself, I was doing it clean and feeling the full effect, the full emotion of those experiences. Cause it wasn't diluted by whatever substances I was using. So, I think that this also through that, you know, openness and willingness and just starting, you know, first with just being real and being fucking honest about that I was afraid and I didn't know how to get clean. I've learned things about myself that I didn't think were there or possible, you know, and it is a miracle. Like these are miracles that, you know, if I heard myself share when I was a newcomer, I wouldn't believe it. And I'd probably be like, fuck this guy. I probably wouldn't even like me today. So, you know, it's just, it's interesting to see like how we change, you know, and usually we see it in each other, not in ourselves, but you know, that's what the miracle is very clear to me when I see someone come in and then next thing you know, a year has gone by and they're celebrating a year and all these amazing things that had happened, you know, and like I sometimes there's tears because it's just unbelievable. So anyway, this isn't a matter of luck. It's a matter of willingness, you know, and the more I put into this thing, the more I get out of it. So love all you guys. I hope to meet you all in real life at some one day. And you know, I heard someone share from Pittsburgh the other day. It was cool. I want to thank Alex for asking me to share and, thanks for listening.
Thank you. Hold on. You can do the clappy symbol. There we go. All right. All right. So, thank you so much, Fred. Really appreciate it. I would like to introduce the second speaker, Stu M from Laurel Highlands, PA, from the Subject to Revision Group, home group of NA in Laurel Mountain Highlands area.
Hi, everybody. My name is Stu. I'm an addict.
Hey, Soup.
Let me try to move my phone here. I'm not good with this kind of technology whatsoever. All right, I'm good. Well, first let me say that I'm extremely blessed and honored to be asked to speak. It's kind of caught off guard. My sponsor had sent me a text and he was like, yo, and it was like real slow one. And I was like, oh Lord, like what's going on now? And he asked me, so I was super excited and everything like that. Been thinking about it a lot. And I don't know, I can remember, man, even ever since I was a young, as far back as I can remember as a child, I was a extremely like unhonest, ungrateful, manipulative, closed-minded, like hopeless individual. I mean, from the beginning, I can't remember a moment of hope or the thought of hope ever entering my mind when I was younger, well before substances ever came into the picture. I can remember, you know, manipulating and lying to my family, or my parents or my sisters or whoever it was, trying to, you know, get whatever I wanted, you know, out of them. Usually, like, I can remember, I think I was like 7 years old and I was trying to like lie to my mom. I don't even remember exactly what I was saying, but I was trying to get like this little remote controlled car. And it was just, when I look back at it now, I'm just like, wow, like I was a really screwed up kid. And it was nothing my parents ever did or anything like that. I was brought up in like an extremely, like religious, spiritual family. And I have two older sisters that, you know, were nothing like me. And as I got older, and substances came into the picture, I found myself in a lifestyle or a, I guess you could say like a music scene or something like that where, substances were just what you did. And at an early age, I lied and I was closed-minded and I would argue my points, whatever point of view I had with whatever subject, with whoever I could, just because I had to prove that I was right about something, even when 99% of the time I was completely wrong. I couldn't be told anything. I had zero willingness to do anything other than what was on my agenda. If it wasn't what was on my agenda, it was out the window. And I can remember, man, it's like, it's super sad to like think about it now, but I can remember like feeling destined to like die in my late teens or my early 20s. And it was something that I had accepted and it was something that I thought was, you know, just meant to be. And I don't know, it was just ingrained in my mind. It's like, this is what you do. Like you do this in your life and you're probably going to die in a bathroom or you're going to die. You know, that's just what's going to happen. Sorry, I have to step inside. It's starting to pour outside. But I can remember early on, I was introduced into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous at an early age. And it was, I think I was like 17 or something. And, it was in no way a volunteer type thing. I was forced, basically kicking or screaming. To try to, I don't know, salvage what was left of like my high school career and what was left of like, possible college opportunities and trying to salvage like my family and everything like that. And I came into NA and I heard all this, you know, spiritual principles, you know, I've heard the steps read, you know, and I heard about, you know, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, and I completely blew it off. And I thought everybody in the rooms were, you know, brainwashed cultists, and, you know, that just wasn't me. You know, I didn't have an ounce of open-mindedness to even think about, you know, a new way of life. Luckily, when I was 24, I was once again forced into a corner. And I really didn't have any other option. Like there was basically two options left and it was, you know, die or, you know, try to get clean. So once again, I manipulated myself into getting to a treatment facility, the only treatment facility I would allow myself to come into. And I remember, you know, giving people the ultimatum that were trying to get me to go to treatment. And I was like, well, I'm not going to go to X, Y, and Z. I will only go to, you know, A. That's the only place I'll go. Yada, yada, yada. So I manipulated myself into that situation also. And, I got there. And I don't know. I think the only reason I really got clean is I was terrified. I was really scared of what was going on in my life. I had a lot of, I don't know, friends of mine, and I like to say friends. I don't know exactly what they all were or anything like that, but I had a lot of friends of mine that were going away to prison for the rest of their lives and were dying, and it was all a mess. And once again, I was introduced into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And I was welcomed with open arms by many people that had seen me come and go a million times. And, you know, that was the first, I guess, glint of, or opportunity that I was given again. It was just like that little shining beacon of hope that I had, and I could barely see it, but it was there. And that's what really got me at first to start to get honest with myself about what was going on. And I mean, honesty is a tricky subject. Like, not so much now, but in the beginning it was. Like, I could tell you the truth about a situation, or I could, you know, not lie about what color the sky is today. Because before, like, I had lied for so long and lied about so much stuff that, like, when I first got clean, I really had to look back. I'd been telling certain lies for so long that I, like, literally didn't know reality anymore. I didn't know what had actually happened in my past, because I was like, did I lie about that situation, or did that really happen? And, like, I still look at that, like, today, and I literally don't know what happened in my past in certain situations, because I've lied about them for so long that, like, I can't remember what really happened, which is insane. But I mean, that just goes to show me again, like, look, like, how insane I really am. So in the beginning, like, I was able to get honest with myself, and continue to stay honest with myself for the most part. And I was able to, I guess, surround myself with those that live an honest program. And I guess some of that kind of rubs off on me. Like, I'm blessed today to be surrounded by, other members of Narcotics Anonymous, every single day. I mean, from work to my home life, my we, my sponsor, and, like, I wouldn't say all of them, but I'd say 90% of them, they don't pull punches with me, which is, I'm extremely blessed to have. Cause that allows me to, you know, really take a look at myself. Like, I can't like manipulate or lie to my wife. Like, it's literally impossible. Like, I can't do it to my sponsor. Like, I'm not good at it. They know I'm not good at it. They know what my signs are. Like, if I would do something like that, and, like, they're not afraid to be like, hey, jag off, like, this is what you're doing. We know what you're doing. And I don't know. I think recently, like, it's really been, I've really been having, like, a situation recently where, like, I put a lot of expectations on other people. I just worked another four step, and basically my entire four step was, like, how I put expectations on others. And, you know, I fail miserably with that. And, bad things are usually arise. I usually build resentments where there is no resentment needed. And, it's hard for me. It was hard for me to really get honest about that, just because, I like to blame other people for things. Sometimes I like to look at myself, and I like to think that, you know, I got it together, you know, which is completely wrong, but, you know, I got it all completely together. I got it all under control and everything. But, you know, those things are brought to my attention, and that's just one example. And I don't know. It goes right into the open-mindedness, you know, that I need to practice every single day. And, like, coming from a place where, and it's not to, like, blame my situation or anything at a young age or anything like that, but, like, I was brought up believing this one, well, I'll just be completely honest because most people think this is, won't believe this, but like I was literally born into a Mennonite household. So like, I was taught to believe fire and brimstone, like this is the way, this is the only way, you know, yada, yada, yada. I always said in the past that like, you know, I strayed from that thought, that way of thinking so many times, and I opened my mind and was able to, you know, believe other things and yada, yada, yada. Well, that's complete horseshit because like, I literally took that ideology of this is the way and this is the only way, and I just morphed it into something else. And it might not have been those exact beliefs, but I had my own beliefs and I still have certain beliefs today. My sponsor calls, what is my sponsor called? I can't even think of the term right now, but it'll come to my mind here in a minute. But, unrealistic virtues. So I still have these unrealistic virtues that, you know, play into my everyday life because I'm still closed-minded about like solutions sometimes. And I am a person that learns from pain, that learns from mistakes. I wish it wasn't so, but I have to literally bang my head against the wall about 700 times. And on the 701st time, I'll reach out to somebody, whoever it is, whether it's my sponsor, somebody in my Wii or whatever, and they'll, you know, give me a suggestion and they'll tell me like, look what you're doing. You know, you're obviously not in the solution. You're obviously acting out on a certain character defect, whether it be, you know, greed or, you know, it's usually greed. That's usually what mine is. But they tell me that, and sometimes I'll do the right thing, but a lot of the other times I'll just experience a little bit more pain and then I'll have to really realize it. But it's coming, like the open-mindedness I have today and just from seeing the outside world and everything that's going on, like I tell myself every single day that like, just because, you know, I look at a certain situation or I look at, you know, a certain thought system and I think that I'm morally right and this person's morally wrong, like that doesn't mean that I have to, how do I say this? I have to think any less of somebody, or I have to argue or create a resentment or create a hostility towards somebody else that believes something different, because I don't know if I'm right all the time. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure that like a lot of the things I do are wrong, and or the things that I think are wrong at least. And I have to, you know, learn new things and learn new ways and be open to things like that. Because without open-mindedness for me, like there is zero growth. Without zero growth, there's literally no reason for me to be in this program. If I'm not growing every day, like there's literally no reason why I should be here. Cause once it stops, like once I create that wall where I'm not open enough to whatever, you know, new ways of thinking, you know, new ways of doing things or anything like that, like I'm stagnant. I heard somebody say something the other day that like really, and I don't know why, like all of a sudden it was like a light bulb in my head, but it's like recovery is like riding a bicycle uphill. You know, if I stop pedaling in any way, shape or form, it's not, I don't sit there. Like I roll backwards. And without that growth and that open-mindedness for that growth, like it's over for me. And then like, I don't know, like I experienced a situation these past couple months that were, that was probably the hardest moment. The hardest thing I've had to experience in recovery. And at first it was like this amazing thing that had happened. And, I had two of my best friends, from first grade best friends come into the rooms of NA and, you know, want to get clean, you know, and they were, they, like, it was so amazing to see, like, you know, people that I had like literally like grown up with and had kept in contact with once I got clean, but like at an arm's length, keep like, you know, I had boundaries and everything like that, but to finally have them come back around and, you know, try this new way of life and to see like a flicker of hope, you know, in their eye and everything like that. And it was it was amazing. You know what I mean? It was the beginning of the summer. And, my one friend, he's still around. He's struggling and stuff. But you know, he's still reaching out. He's still trying to put his next foot forward and he's trying. And, you know, I'm trying to be there for him to try to show him the way. I learned early on that like I can't create safety blankets and I can't, my sponsor called them my little ducklings. Like when I had the first couple sponsors that I had like, these little ducklings where like I would not allow the outside world to destroy them or whatever, you know? And like, I know now, like I have to let people make their own mistakes and I have to let a friend of mine make these mistakes, but he's still here. He's still breathing air and everything like that. So like, and he's still reaching out. I just saw him recently at a meeting. I was extremely happy to see him there. My other friend, on the other hand, didn't make it. And it was super hard for me to understand why, you know, why this would happen. Like, what is going on? You know, yada, yada, yada. He went on vacation with me and my family for a weekend. We got back on a Tuesday and he was dead like Thursday morning because he went back out. He decided to, you know, go back out. And that first like 2 weeks, like my God, dude, like I've never cried in a meeting before that, dude. And I think I bawled in every, I went to like, it was during this pandemic. So like I was going to a lot of Zoom meetings and I was going to whatever meeting I could, you know, and that was still open. And, like I cried at every single meeting. I had never done that before and I was just so busted, you know, and then like how crazy this program works, right? Like this is how crazy it works. Like from that horrible situation that happened and affected his family and affected a bunch of people and all this stuff, like I learned a lesson from it. And it's not just, you know, don't get high, you know what I mean? Like that's not, I mean, of course that was, you know, further concreted in my mind, but like I gained something new. Not new, but something was like re-solidified in me and it was willingness. Like for the longest time, like I wouldn't say stray away from newcomers, but I wouldn't put my best foot forward to allow myself to be available to, new men in these rooms. Like I just didn't do it. Like I would go to a meeting, I would talk to a newcomer, yada, yada, yada. Like I might pick one up for a meeting here and there, but I literally did not have the willingness to go beyond that. I didn't have it. Because I'm a selfish asshole. And I can remember like, I mean, this just happened. So like I can remember like, you know, after that happened, I beat myself up. Like I was like, oh my God, like what have I been doing? Like, I got clean in like 2016. So like I've been around for like a couple of days and like I'm not putting my best foot forward to, you know, help the newcomer to, you know, try to share my experience, strength and hope in hopes that, you know, maybe somebody else will hear something that I say and, you know, maybe that little light bulb will click on in their head. Cause like I can remember being a newcomer and I can remember not having any hope whatsoever for this. I hated being clean for the first 6 months. Like I hated it cause I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Like I didn't know how to live and now I'm living this new way of life and like I just didn't know what to do with myself. And I can remember I was at a meeting and I was in Johnstown and it was in the morning and this guy, like I'll remember this for the rest of my life, like this guy, he had a certain situation in his life where like he dealt with a thing every single day that if like that was me, like I would have been the most ungrateful fucking human in the world. And like this guy was so grateful and he was so full of hope. And like he was always super, super glad to see me. And you know, he said something in the meeting the one day and I'll remember it forever. And like, I got that glimmer of hope. And that's one of the like major reasons why I'm clean today is because if I didn't have that like first real hope shot, like I don't know where I would have been. So for me to like, after this had happened with my, like my really close friend, like, I don't know, dude, I kind of like went gung ho recently and, it's awesome because like I'm building like new relationship with guys and it's not even like I say newcomers, but like they're not. Like some of these guys have like a few years or whatever, but like I had really shut my circle down and my weed down to like certain people that I thought that were the only people I could really trust or the only people I could really reach out to and yada 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 because I was a closed minded person, you know, and I wasn't willing to put in the footwork to you know, really build some key relationships. And like really, be open to new ideas that these guys may have or whatever, you know? And like recently, and that's what I've been doing, like for the past few months, like that's what I've been doing is just like, you know, creating these relationships, reaching out, like it's crazy. Like since all that stuff happened, like I have like 10 guys that text me every single morning, you know, and it might just be like, hey man, have a good day. Like I love you, you know, yada, yada, yada. And like, that's something that I'm supposed to do to like newcomers. But here I am like 4.5 years in and I have these guys that, you know, have, you know, 6, 7, 8 months that are texting me and reaching out to me in the beginning, like, and just telling me like, I hope you have a good day and I hope you do this and I hope you do that. And like, they're doing it way better than I was, you know? And I had like some experience in this. And that just further goes to show me like the open-mindedness aspect behind it because like a lot of the times when, especially in early recovery, like, I would think like I would have X days clean or whatever. And I would think, oh, you only have this. What can you teach me? What can you do this? What can, like, you know what I mean? And like that just further ingrains in my head that like I'm, as long as I'm able to keep an open mind, I'm able to learn things. And, I'm able to experience, better situations, better experiences, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like I'm able to really enjoy my life. And I don't know, dude, it's like, I'm super, super blessed today. Like I'm really, really, really blessed. I came from like an active addiction, like, I was the guy who would come home from not being home, we'll just say that, and like I would be home on the street for a month or two and I would go away again for like a year or two. Like I could not function in society. Like I wasn't responsible enough to do like absolutely anything. And like today, through the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, through like learning the spiritual principles by, you know, working the steps of Narcotics Anonymous, like I've been able to learn so many things about myself, about the world, about how to be an adult. Like when I came in, like if I wouldn't had, I think had that gift of desperation and, you know, eventually started, being able to practice some like real honesty, some real open-mindedness, some real willingness to do some things. Like I would have never learned how to be a father. Like I had a son. I think I had a year and a half clean and I had a son and I was scared shitless and I had no idea what I was going to do. I mean, I was going to do my best and I was going to, you know, do whatever, but like I had to be taught in these rooms how to be a dad, you know? I had to be taught in these rooms how to be a husband. I had to be taught in these rooms how to be a friend, how to be an employee, how to, you know, do all those things. And like today, like I'm doing okay. You know what I mean? Like I have two healthy sons. I have an amazing wife. I have solid men and women in my life that, you know, I'm blessed enough to say that like almost all my friends are in Narcotics Anonymous. Like it's really cool. It's like really funny because like I'll go like days or even a week. Like, and the only people that I come into contact with that like aren't working a program is like the lady at the gas station. You know what I mean? Or something like that. Like I'm really blessed because like just the way like everything worked out, everybody, is, you know, in the rooms, like even my dad works with like in a different fellowship, but like I was able to lead by example by these principles. And my dad, who had drank for longer than I had been alive, somehow that was like a glimmer of hope for my father. And now my dad's been clean for like 4 years. Like that's a fucking miracle. You know what I mean? Like for me, like it's hard for me to like even just this experience I'm having like right now, like sharing with you guys, like for me to be asked to do this, like, and given this opportunity, like sometimes I think to myself, like, am I doing what I need to be doing? Am I doing okay? I don't know. Like I second guess myself a lot sometimes still. And like this opportunity or when I go to a meeting and some guy that's in a halfway house or like just, or whatever, you know, and he has like a few months clean and he comes up to me and he's like, hey, like, you know, can I have your number? Can I hit you? Can I call you? You know, like if I need a ride, will you pick me up? Like that is amazing, dude. Like, cause I was the guy that like, before I got clean, like I was the guy that like, if you didn't hear from me for like 2 years, you were like, thank God. You know what I mean? Like, hopefully that guy's gone forever. He's either dead or locked up. Cause like, that's just the way it was. You know, I was a horrible person. And for like me to be able to be given this opportunity to, learn about myself and practice these spiritual principles and have the people in my life to guide me and, you know, keep me on my toes and to teach me what it's really about and how to do these things. Like, dude, it's like, I look back at it, it's like winning the Powerball. Like it's like a one in a million thing. You know what I mean? It's like, something that I feel that I didn't deserve, when I was out there. But I don't know, man. It's an awesome thing. And let me see what time it is. I don't want to ramble too much. But I'm extremely blessed to be here. I'm extremely blessed to, have been granted this opportunity to, you know all you people and, have you guys, you know, basically teach me how to live again. Super blessed. So I want to thank you guys and, that's all I got.